So today we're joined by Mark Prince and Chris Paxford. Mark, first of all, can you tell us a bit about Holly's story and where she's up to at the moment?
Yeah, hi Adam. Yeah, Holly was 3 weeks premature, which is, you know, not rare at all. She was underweight, and it sort of like started from there really with hospital visits and you know, nurse checks, and as she was growing as a baby, she was always underweight and undersized. So we got referred then to the specialist at the Children's Hospital. So in March 2020, when Holly was three, she was diagnosed with an extremely rare genetic condition called Bloom syndrome. So with Bloom syndrome, you are sensitive to sunlight, short in stature, and you're at greater risk at developing cancers of any sorts at any age. So we delved more into it because we've never heard of it. It's extremely rare. And then we found out there's less than 300 people with it, registered with it in the world. So that obviously that came as a bit of a shock in March 2020. And then 3 months later, she had some symptoms of blood in her urine. So we took her in. And then on June the 26th, 2020, she was diagnosed with a tumour in her kidney called Wilms tumour, which is a very rare kidney cancer. So she undergone 4 weeks of chemotherapy to try and shrink it, and then they operated to remove the kidney on the 18th of August 2020. And then they staged the cancer stage 2 high risk. So then they said she had to go under 34 weeks of extensive chemotherapy to try and kill off all the cancer cells. So that went through till April 2021. And they were hoping to do 12 sessions of chemotherapy on her, but she only got to 7 because her body just wasn't coping well with the chemo. So they scanned her, and then in July 2021, we got to ring the bell because there was no evidence of disease, NED, which was great. So that, you know, we were back on cloud 9. Wife went back to work. Holly went back to school. You know, things were looking up. And then on the follow-up scans in September, they'd found a shadow in the area where they'd removed a kidney, and we found out she'd relapsed and the tumour had come back. So she had to have another operation then to remove that tumour. And then this time they tried her with proton beam therapy, which is a radiotherapy, but it's more precise. So she did that. And then on the follow-up scans from that then, there was no signs of cancer cells in the area of where they'd found it the second time, but they'd found more tumours now higher up near her lungs in a pleural cavity. So then she's having to go now a different type of chemotherapy drug, because the last one didn't work, every 3 weeks, 5 consecutive days every 3 weeks. So we were in over Christmas. I was in hospital Christmas Day with her just for while she has the chemo, and her next chemo's on Monday. So that's where we're up to at the moment with Polly's treatment.
It certainly sounds like it's been a sort of tough period. How has Holly been affected like that? Has it sort of changed her personality, or has she sort of always been the same throughout?
The same throughout, really. She doesn't really understand what's going on, and the older she's getting now, she's 5 now, she's asking a bit more questions this time, but initially, last year, when we were going through, you know, she'd lost her hair, there were a bit of sickness, bit of diarrhoea, overnight stays in hospital. She stayed quite normal, really, a bit more emotional than usual. But we've got 2 other children that we need to keep busy and keep their lives as normal. So they've kept us busy. But like the overnight stays in hospital on the cancer ward with other parents, and, you know, and you're seeing other children worse off than us. It's tragic, really, what the world we live in.
It certainly is. And Chris, moving to you, sort of, how did you get involved with Mark and the fundraising campaign?
The first time we actually met was with one of our friends recently passed away, Kieran. So there was like a charity football match at, in Everton. So I'd seen Holly's page before that on Facebook a couple of times, but so you see that many things on Facebook, you don't know what's what sort of thing. And then when I realised it was Mark's daughter, obviously it's close to home, so that in itself was like a bit of an eye opener that people do suffer and they're close to you as well. So that's how we sort of started speaking, really. And then as I saw Holly at the dance class, I take my daughter to a dance class in Everton, and she's very similar age to Holly. And she came walking out before my little one. And that's the first time I've ever seen her in person, and it just, she had a massive smile on her face, run out like everything was fine sort of thing. And it just hit me. So that's it, really.
And obviously you're climbing, Kilimanjaro, to raise awareness and funds for the family. Obviously that's going to be easy task. How are the preparations going for that?
It was good until today when I've been stuck in a cupboard for 5 hours changing the consumer unit over. But yeah, it's going okay. I've needed to shift a bit of weight. I've put, like a lot of us have put a lot of weight on over COVID. So that's the main aim, is shift some weight, get fit. I've been on the exercise bike, putting the miles in at night after work and stuff. Lost about £5 this week, so hopefully I can just carry on as I am and progress it, try to get into like the mountains at the weekend and stuff, and hopefully I'll get it done. It's the main concern is just the altitude, really, because you can't control how your body's going to react to that, but and everything else I'm sure I'll be prepared for when it happens,
so. Definitely. And how is the climb going to work? How long are you going to be out there and up Mount Kilimanjaro for?
It's a 7-day trek. So each day's got sort of different hours of climbing, where you sort of climb a little bit higher, and then you'll come a bit lower to camp, just so your body's acclimatizing to the altitude. And then I have people with me, like porter and cook and people like that, an actual mountain guide. It's illegal to climb it on your own, I'm guessing, because stuff like the altitude and things like that. So, yeah, I'm actually looking forward to it. And I'm pretty sure I'll be fine. It's just, like I say, the altitude, and then the summit day, which is like you climbing all day and then you have a break at tea time-ish, get a couple of hours sleep, and then you wake up at like midnight, and then you then walk in for sort of 12 to 16 hours to reach the summit for sunrise, and then back down to one of the lower camps. So that's going to be the make or break, really.
And how did you come to the decision of climbing Mount Kilimanjaro? Obviously, there's a lot of different ways to raise money for the charity. We sort of see it all the time. So what boiled down to that decision to climb Kilimanjaro?
I just wanted to do something sort of what might shock people, like make people raise like a lot more money than normal. So that's the main reason. And I love traveling as well. Like it's a good thing to do. Love traveling. I love the outdoors. So I'm happy to do that and challenge myself. But at the same time, like I say, I wanted to do something quite extreme that would gain a lot of awareness and hopefully raise a decent amount of money.
Mark, coming back to you, looking at the funds being raised for Holly, what are you looking to use that money for?
Well, initially, when we announced it all about Holly, I was getting a lot of texts and phone calls. Can we raise money? Can we do this? Can we fundraise? But we weren't really saving up for an operation in America or anything like that. So a good friend of mine, Phil Barnes, who runs Holly's fundraising account, said he doesn't mind setting up a Just Giving GoFundMe page. I said, okay, then we'll every 2 years, the Balloon Syndrome Association meet up in Chicago. It's like a big conference, and they discuss cancer surveillance, treatments, what they're trying to do to find a cure. Because currently the average age, life expectancy is 27. So obviously, as the years go on, we hope that extends. And there is no cure for it at the moment. So I said, okay, then if we're going to go to Chicago, let's set it at £500, and we'll get Holly's flights paid out of it. And then since then, it's just spiraled. It got to 1,000 within a day. Then it was 5,000. Then it was 10,000. And then we were like, this is spiraling more than what we've ever thought. So then when it went over 10,000, we decided that we'll change the description of it, and we will give money to other childhood cancer charities that we've been close to. So I think with Chris's climb, he's looking to raise £5,000. But the money will go towards us going to Chicago as a family, and hopefully getting Florida out of it, because we've got to enjoy every day when Holly's well, because we just don't know what's around the corner, as morbid as that sounds.
Yeah, definitely. And you talk there about the trip to Chicago. Obviously 300 people have this condition around the world. Are you aware of any other British families that you've been in contact with?
Yeah, there's a family in London. There's a family in Shrewsbury, and that's all I'm aware of at the moment. But we've got, since we've become members of the Balloon Syndrome Association, we've met with families in over Zoom, in America, quite a lot in America, Australia, Switzerland, the Netherlands, South Africa. So it's quite an array of people all around the world. But we're lucky that in the Northwest, Dr. Stefan Mayer, who's like the Bloom Syndrome expert of the North, he's based in Manchester. So we're under him. He's our consultant. So there's nothing he doesn't know about Bloom Syndrome, where other people who are diagnosed with it, for example, down south or in different countries, their GPs, their doctors, they don't know enough about the condition. So they sort of get fobbed off, but they don't know what to do when certain things happen.
And obviously, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And obviously you mentioned there about talking to other families, not just in the UK, but around the world. Have you been able to relate to their stories?
Yeah, so we were quite, Holly was quite young when she was diagnosed with it. Usually you get, 5, 6, 7 years of age before you get diagnosed with Bloom Syndrome. And like I said, there's a family in Australia. She was only 18 when she got diagnosed with the condition. So it just goes to show, we were quite lucky that we found Holly's diagnosis quite early on. And yeah, we can relate to other people. And going back to the conference, parents talk about parenting a child with it. And then children get up and they talk about living with it and different tips, because she probably won't reach 5 foot in height. So she's got a little stool that she carries around the house with her to wash her hands, and she climbs up the cupboard. She's quite a good climber. So, yeah, just little things like that.
And so looking further forward, Mark, have you got any other fundraising plans into the sort of next 12 months?
Yeah, just when I thought that fundraising had come to an end, I come across Chris, who's climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. There's been various people done different fundraising. We've had a charity cricket game, Atherton Town versus Atherton Collieries at Atherton Cricket Club. I think that's going to be an annual thing. There's a charity ball that I'm organising in June, at Lee Sports Village. So it'll be like a black tie type of thing. And we're going to be raising money for Holly and the other kids' cancer charities for that. So yeah, there's different things going on over the next few months and the next 12 months, really.
Definitely. And Chris, just going back to you, to sort of close and to talk about, the climb as well. Obviously, as you mentioned before, it's going to be a tough 7-day climb. What are your hopes and the ultimate aim for that trip?
The ultimate aim is just getting to the top and doing what I said I'm going to do, really. So I'll stick into my word. So yeah. I just don't want to let Mark and his family down. So, yeah, I just want to get to the top, raise as much money as possible, and then get back down safely. And hopefully it'll be enjoyable along the way. Like I say, it's going to be a challenge, but I'm sure everything will go to plan and get home safe and yeah, hopefully raise a decent amount of cash.
And how can people donate to your fundraising page to climb Mount Kilimanjaro?
So there's a GoFundMe link, which I'm pretty sure you can just type on the GoFundMe website and find it. There's also social media. There's Holly's Bloom page, which I'm pretty sure it's on there. Is that right, Mark?
Yeah, my wife runs a blog, personal blog for Holly called Holly's Blooms Journey. So everything's on there. And then Chris is on Facebook and Twitter. And myself's on Twitter as well, where you can find the links to there.
Yeah, obviously on the page that Mark runs, it goes into a lot more detail about Holly's condition as well, rather than just the few paragraphs on the GoFundMe page. So obviously if people can follow that, it'll raise awareness at the same time, sort of thing.
It certainly does. Chris, Mark, thank you very much for taking the time out this afternoon to speak to us on Roach Valley Radio, and I'm sure we'll keep an eye on Holly's story and Chris, your climb up Mount Kilimanjaro.
Thank you, mate.
Cheers, Adam. Thanks.